Hello, this is Chris English welcoming you to another edition of At Home This Morning, our programme of interviews about matters of interest and importance for both our older listeners and those not so old, in and around the city of Brighton and Hove. In this show, we'll be hearing from Chris Lofthouse, the CEO of the Research Institute for Disabled Consumers, about how you can join their panel of testers so that you can help them recommend the best option for your needs. We'll also be joined by James Lohman and Emma Bald, who will be telling us about a new scheme that's aiming to provide a dementia friend in each and every local convenience store so that everyone living with that dreadful disease can shop more easily. And while no one wants to think about a child from their family being in a hospice, I can assure anyone that having spent a few hours at the Chestnut Tree House in the last few days, that it's really a very happy place. And to tell us all about it, we'll be hearing from Charlotte Waring and Karen Ezzard, who are just two of the wonderful and dedicated team at the hospice. To round off this edition with something completely different, I'll be talking to two Argentinian members of the cast of Tango Fire that's coming to the Theatre Royal for just one performance on Monday the 2nd of March. So that's all to come in this edition of At Home This Morning, our magazine programme that's made for Brighton's only truly local radio station, Radio Reverb, by Grey Matters Productions, and is broadcast on 97.2 FM, DAB Digital Radio, on your smart speaker, and online at radioreverb.com. Now, I found a piece of paper the other day that had something on it that said the Research Institute for Disabled Consumers, and it's a UK charity. Well, joining us now, Chris Lofthouse from that charity. Chris, exactly what is RIDC?
Well, RIDC stands for the Research Institute for Disabled Consumers. I mean, it really does what it says on the tin, really. We do research and we work with older and disabled people to improve things in terms of, you know, access and inclusion. So we actually came out of WICH, you know, who do consumer research on sort of mainstream things. We specialize in access for older people and disabled people. I mean, the sort of mantra is, if you get it right for disabled people and older people, it benefits, it benefits everybody. I mean,
absolutely.
The airport is, you know, going to an airport is completely accessible because, in a sense, everybody has a disability because they're all dragging a big, not necessarily a big suitcase, but they're dragging a suitcase, are they?
Totally, yeah. I mean, that's ideal for this program because At Home This Morning is aimed at our older and less old listeners. So is this something that people can join in or is it a closed group?
Well, we have a panel. We have a UK-wide panel of older and disabled people who help us with research. In fact, the panel really is the engine room of our kind of work. The panel members help us with research. I mean, we do mystery shopping. We do surveys. I mean, in fact, we just did a survey with WICH, in fact, about air travel just recently, about how dehumanizing it is for many disabled travelers. So the people on our panel are the engine room. In fact, the individual people are the sort of knowledge, I would say knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, because they've lived the experience. So when we do research, it's always person-centered around a particular person's experience. And so, yes, people can join the panel. They can phone up. They can actually phone. I can give you the phone number, which is a London number, 020-7427-2460. I'll repeat it, 020-7427-2460. or they can sign up on our website, which is ridc.org.uk. The .org signifies that we're a charity. We do a range of research with a range of with all people with different impairments and disabilities and age. But we always work with specialist groups. So we've worked with Motability on car and driving adaptations. We've worked with various charities on specific reports. For example, Thomas Pocklington, we looked at cookers, central heating controls for blind and partially sighted people. Older people lose their sight and don't know where to find easy-to-use products. So our website's actually a very useful source of information based on actual research with real people.
And is it aimed at, you mentioned they're real people, so can the member of the public look on your website and get the answer to your research?
They can. I mean, it's not. We cover specific, because we're project based. We cover specific things. So we've got a lot of good stuff on mobility and driving. If you're an older driver or a disabled driver, as I say, we've looked at some household products like ease of use of washing machines, central heating controls, and we point people to other sources of you know, other charity sources of information that people often don't know about. And it's important to do the sort of research before you, you know, you meet the salespeople, because there are dodgy practices going on. A lot of, you know, people are quite often exploited by sales techniques and what have you, and we have some consumer rights information on our page, which actually is quite popular, because you know, people want to check their, you know, consumer rights, and also check in case, you know, doorstep selling and things like that. There's people are quite vulnerable to being manipulated.
Very much.
So we've got some consumer advice on there, which again points to where to go to proper quality sources of information.
I mean, it's vitally important, particularly for older people, and at this time of year when people cold call in the evening when you've no idea who's at the door.
No, that's right. Yes. And I mean, the thing to do is, you know, is to say you're not going to open the door. Thank you very much. Goodbye. And just be polite and firm and tell people to leave you alone. I mean, you know, but it, you know, people, you know, often people, if they don't know, or they open the door, then, you know, they can be, you know, exposed to some, you know, people that aren't so scrupulous. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting you talk about motor manufacturers, because I've my car's in for service today, and they've given me a loan car, and it's so technical. You know, as an older person, I was a little bit daunted about it. But that's the way, I suppose, life is going generally, isn't it?
It is. I mean, we actually did look at research for some of, you know, on the new technology that's coming. And what you've just said is that sort of, I think it's driver distraction, they call it, is you're distracted by all the technologies in the car, you know, rather than in you know, perhaps a few years ago, everybody could get into a car and the dashboard and the controls would be all the similar. So it was intuitive. You knew what to do. Now, you know, you can get in a car and you don't even know how to switch the, you know, the radio on. In fact, in one car I hired, the on off button was the actual sleeve on a round button. I'm not going to tell you which car it was, but it took me 5 minutes, and I was like almost going crazy with trying to, because I wanted to use the sat nav, and you had to lift the pull the sleeve out, the round sort of like a collar around the actual round button. And so we did look at technology. We have got some advice for older drivers, but you're absolutely right. I got in a car the other day, and it was really confusing. Yeah.
I mean, just moving on at the moment, where do you see RIDC going in the future?
Well, we really want to expand our panel because, as I sort of said, the mantra is if you get things right for older and disabled people at the beginning, at the outset of defining a product or a service, it benefits everybody. And in a sense, that used to happen. In fact, Apple, when you pull an Apple computer out of its box, it speaks to you. So a blind person immediately there's no barriers. They can set up an Apple computer. But technology's moved on, and people have forgotten this kind of principles of what we call inclusive design, which is designing to make things easier and inclusive for as many people as possible. So our research is increasingly important because, I'm getting to my point, because things are very fragmented. You know, people can't rely on the train travel. They can't trust that, you know, the train journey is going to be stress-free if you're older or you book passenger assistance. So it's the fragmentary nature of our world means that we need to be involved more and more at the outset. The disabled and older people need to be integrated into the service or product to make sure that it's accessible for everybody.
Absolutely. Chris, yeah. Thank you very much for joining us.
And thanks, Chris.
Before you go, can you repeat those contact details for people to join your survey group and also the website?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're the Research Institute for Disabled Consumers. So if you Google us, you will find us quite clearly. The website itself with the famous www.ridc.org.uk. And people are very welcome to sign up to our consumer panel. The more people, the better. It just gives us more clout. Or people can phone us because we know not everybody's online and we have a phone line so people can sign up, which is 020-7427-2460. I'll repeat that, 020-7427-2460. We also have an information line on a phone which has our latest information, which we call the RIDC info line, which is 030-223-5355. And our information is available on the phone. It's an interactive phone line actually done by a talking newspaper, and it's actually very interesting so people can listen to the online information over the phone.
Wonderful. Chris Lofthouse from RIDC, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. All the best.
We were hearing from Chris Lofthouse, who is CEO of the Research Institute for Disabled Consumers. And if you didn't get a chance to make a note of those contact details, I'll repeat them at the end of today's programme. Now, we're told that Alzheimer's is a killer. And, of course, it is. But how big a killer is it? Well, joining us on the telephone, James Lohman, Chief Executive of Association of Convenience Stores, and Emma Bold, Programme Partnerships Project Manager for the Alzheimer's Societies. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just that. How big a problem is Alzheimer's?
Alzheimer's and dementia. Dementia is an umbrella term for many different types of conditions, one including Alzheimer's disease. It is a huge issue for our society. It overtook heart disease as the biggest killer in the UK in 2016. So we need all aspects of society to come together and help us tackle this issue. So we're delighted to be working with the Association of Convenience Stores on their new campaign to create 25,000 dementia friends. And a dementia friend is someone who just knows a little bit more about dementia and what they can do to help somebody.
I was going to say, convenience stores and dementia don't necessarily go hand in hand, do they? So how is it going to work?
You're absolutely right. They don't necessarily immediately link. But when you think about it, it's actually a very logical link because there are 850,000 people living with dementia in the UK, and two-thirds of those live in the community and they live in their own homes. And for them, one of the main services they'll be using will be their local shop, their local convenience store. And there are 46,000 convenience stores across the country. So if you think about it, there are millions of interactions between people living with dementia and people working in local shops. And so what we're trying to do is get as many people as possible in those stores trained to become dementia friends, which Emma's explained is about learning a bit more about dementia and how to help people living with that. And so, you know, it makes complete sense to us to be running this Dementia Friends campaign and trying to create 25,000 new dementia friends from colleagues working in the convenience store sector.
So how does that work? What is a dementia friend?
The way you can become a dementia friend is you go to the dementiafriends.org.uk website, and you can see some films there which really explain in a very engaging way about what dementia is, what some of the implications are living with dementia, and what some of the things you can do to help people living with dementia, and particularly from our point of view in respect of shops and interacting with people in that sort of setting, cafes and so on. So a dementia friend is really someone who understands more about dementia, who's confident in dealing with and supporting people who are living with dementia, and who can do some practical, simple things to make their lives a little bit easier, a little bit richer.
I mean, Emma, just talking about dementia and Alzheimer's, I've got a very good friend who has recently been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. What can he expect in his life for the next however long?
What I'd say to him is don't be pigeonholed and don't let people think differently of you. You're the same person you were before the diagnosis. You walked into a room and they said something to you and you walked out of the room and you're the same person. Dementia affects every individual differently. So depending on what type of dementia you have, it might affect you in a different way. And what I'd say is just do the things which matter to you. Make it clear to the people you love what you want to happen, what things you want to continue doing, and just come and get support. There's huge misconceptions around dementia that it only affects older people, that it's just about memory loss, that people with dementia are something they're not. And you're still the same person you were before. Everybody still loves you and we want to support you. So if you'd like to get in touch with the Alzheimer's Society, we'd love to be friends with you and help you locally.
I mean, how much of a killer is Alzheimer's?
Alzheimer's, people kind of dying with the condition, it overtook heart disease. So that was a recorded cause of death. It affects different parts of the brain. So depending on kind of the different types of dementia you have, it might affect whether you might die with dementia or you might die with another condition. But I think that there's such misconceptions there. Dementia isn't, it can range from people can live happily with the condition for decades. Some dementias can be quite progressive and some dementias can be quite aggressive. So it is just so unique compared to that situation, that individual, and the type of dementia they have. Dementia is an umbrella term for 200 different conditions. Terry Pratchett had a form called Lewy Bodies, which primarily affected his sight. And we had Terry Jones, who sadly passed away last week. He had a form of dementia which affected his communication, so he found it difficult to speak. There's lots of different conditions which affect people in different ways.
And how does it happen? How do you catch it, or what's the cause?
Yeah, so you can't catch dementia. It's not infectious. It's diseases of the brain. Dementia is vastly underinvested compared to other conditions like cancer and other kind of conditions which affect people. We're about 10 to 15 years behind cancer research. So we know that dementia is caused by plaques in the brain, plaques and tangles. And if you think of your brain sends messages to different parts, and you might have one part of your brain which it knows how to do a process. So if you go and make a cup of tea, it knows that you do tea bag first, boil the kettle, pour the water in, take the tea bag out, milk in. It might affect that part of the brain, so you might get the process in the wrong order. These tangles and plaques make it difficult for messages to be sent through and to be retrieved. So that is why it might be difficult for you to maybe retrieve a memory, but it will affect you in different ways. We use an analogy called the bookcase analogy. And if you think of your life starting at the bottom of the bookcase and your core memories of when you're a child, you're at school, you're maybe starting a family, you're working, you're retired. As you go up your life, your memories are kind of books on this bookcase. If you shake the bookcase, it's more likely that memories from the top will fall off first. There's two parts of the brain. There's a part of the brain called the amygdala, which does your emotional response and memories. That side of the bookcase is so much stronger. So if you shake the bookcase and maybe some books from the top more recently, what you had for dinner yesterday, what you did yesterday might fall off. The emotional memory, the emotional book will still stay there. So that's what's so important about Dementia Friends. It's all how you treat somebody. somebody might not remember the specifics of the situation, but they'll leave that situation and they'll leave knowing that they were respected, they had a good time, and that there's something positive. So that's kind of the biggest thing we'd say to people: become a dementia friend.
And friends in the convenience sector. So how important do you think to a dementia sufferer is this friend's idea?
I think really important in our sector, because I should say as well, there are many things that people working in our sector already do to support people. For example, sometimes they have contact details for relatives and carers who they can contact if they see particular problems, or if they haven't seen that person for a number of days or something like that. Sometimes our members keep spare keys for people who may need them, or may sometimes forget or lose their keys. So there are already lots of things that are happening, but becoming a dementia friend is a really positive signal about your interest in and concern about that group of customers. And I say it's really important in our sector, particularly because of just how many interactions there are between people working in shops and people living with dementia, and it happens so much. And most of those interactions are very positive now, but with more information, better understanding, and some of the skills that becoming a dementia friend teaches you, you can make them even better and even more positive, and therefore make life for people living with dementia that much more comfortable.
And how can people find out more how to be a friend?
Well, we're running this campaign because it's our 25th anniversary as the Association of Convenience Stores. So you can go through our website, which for this year, which is acs25.org.uk, and all the details are there about linking through to the Dementia Friends campaign. We're running courses, and there are links through to booking onto those courses. We've also produced a guide about welcoming vulnerable customers. Or if you just want to look specifically at the Dementia Friends films, and for broader advice about dementia, local resources that are available and so on, the Dementia Friends website, run by the Alzheimer's Society, is the place to go.
Emma, is there a separate Alzheimer's Society website?
Yeah, so you can go on to dementiafriends.org.uk to watch the videos and become a dementia friend. If you'd like to find out about support in your area, you can go to alzheimerssociety.org.uk. You can put your postcode in and it will show local Alzheimer's Society services and support. We also have a helpline which is open core hours from 8 till about 8 p.m. in the evening, and we're here for you. So come for us on the website, get in touch via our helpline, and we have materials in local GP surgeries. So if you are affected by dementia, you're worried about your memory, or you know somebody who might be affected by dementia, get support and get in touch with the Alzheimer's Society, and we're here to support you.
Emma and James, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We were hearing from James Lohman and Emma Bald about the new initiative that's aimed at trying to make life just a little bit easier in the local convenience store for those suffering from dementia. In the past few days, I've been lucky enough to spend some time at Chestnut Tree House, which is the local hospice for children, and although based just outside Worthing, it takes patients from all over East and West Sussex, plus, of course, Brighton and Hove. To find out more about the invaluable work of the hospice, we hear first from Community Fundraising Manager Charlotte Waring, who explains what Chestnut Tree House is all about and what it does.
Chestnut Tree House is a children's hospice, and we're based just outside, well, between Worthing and Arundel, just off the A27. We look after children and their families throughout the whole of East and West Sussex, Brighton and Hove, and down into South East Hampshire. It's an amazing place here.
Where do the funds come from?
The majority of our funds actually come from our local community. We are incredibly lucky that we have fantastic supporters right across the area, from individuals giving regular donations, people playing our lottery. We have shops. So in Brighton and Hove, we're lucky enough to have two shops, one on London Road and another one in Hove. That's a very important income for us. We have corporate companies, small businesses, all sorts of places, anything from small funds to big funds.
Yeah. How much does it cost to run a place like Chestnut Tree?
So last year it cost us just over £4 million to offer the services. So that's not just running the house itself, but we actually also have community teams who help the children and their families in their own home. So we have a community team based over in Eastbourne and another small one based down in South East Hampshire. Those sort of far-flung places, the families often find it easier, and what they need is actually help at home rather than coming to the hospice itself. Although they still can come to the hospice if the children want to come and have a few nights stay and give mum and dad a break, then that's absolutely fine.
Staying on the finance theme, do you get money from central government?
We do get a little bit of money from the central government, yes. Not an awful lot, about 6%. So, yes, we are very reliant on the community.
So that means that you've got to raise, doing his maths in his head, 94% of that £4 million,
yes,
plus.
Yes, absolutely.
And how easy or difficult is that?
Well, it's a challenge. Like any business, we need to get the money in. It's a challenge, but as I say, we are very, very lucky that we get the support from the community.
Volunteers? Is there a place for volunteers?
Yes, we could not run the service without the volunteers. So I mentioned the shops. The shops, other than the managers and the assistant managers, are staffed by volunteers. We have volunteers that work in the house, from doing helping with the gardening, doing our reception. We have maintenance volunteers that help with our fleet of cars. We have volunteers who help in the kitchen. And then out and about, we have volunteers who do events with us. So they help us at fundraising events. They might steward a walk or be a cheer squad on our marathon.
So lots of things that people can get involved. Mm. If somebody's listening to this and think, I'd like to get involved, how can they do that?
Well, they can go on our website. So we have our website, www.chestnut-tree-house.org.uk, and they can go on there and check the different roles that we've got for volunteering. Or they can give us a call and have a chat, and we can see what sort of skills they've got, what sort of time they've got. You know, it could be a regular thing that people come in regularly for a few hours each week, or it could be ad hoc. There's something for everybody.
I mean, I was talking to the lady on reception earlier, and she was saying she's been here since before the patients arrived.
Yes, yes, we are very lucky. We have quite a few regular volunteers who have done it long term. So, yes, that's...
You talked about a lottery. Is that something that people can get involved in?
Yes, again, if you look on our website, it's got all the details about the lottery on the website. So you sign up and it goes out by direct debit. It's £1 a week, so the actual direct debit, I think, is £4.34 a month it works out. And you could be the lucky recipient of a call on a Friday afternoon from our lottery manager saying you've won £1,000.
£1,000? What else goes on within the building itself?
So here at the house, the children can come and do a whole range of activities. We have a fantastic hydrotherapy pool that they can go in. We have sensory rooms that they can play in. We have wet and dry play areas. We've got a music room, a computer room. We've got fantastic ground, so when the weather's good, the children can go outside and play. A woodland walk that they can really experience nature, which lots of our children, being in wheelchairs, often that's a real challenge for families to go and have a picnic in the woods. But here they can do that.
Finally, Charlotte, talking about money, that vital ingredient, does it have to be large amounts?
No, absolutely not. We're very reliant on the small amounts of money as well. We have collecting tins dotted around all over the community, so any spare change that go into those is really, really welcomed. You know, people, they'll do their own fundraising things, maybe have a coffee morning or a cake bake at work, and you know, have some fun like that. That's amazing. And then, of course, we have people who we're very lucky will think about us in their wills and might leave a legacy for us in their wills. So all sorts of different amounts of money, and they all add up.
Thanks very much, Charlotte, for joining us today. And now let's hear from Activities team leader Karen Izzard what her job actually entails.
What the activity leader does is has fun, lots of fun. We try to bring fun to the house. That could be either, like this morning, we've had a wonderful music session. We had sensory music, parachute play, and this afternoon it's been completely messy play with cooked spaghetti, which they've loved. They've loved that. So my job is very diverse. I work with siblings, I work with children in house, we do events out in the community as well.
What sort of events do you get involved in outside?
Summer parties and Christmas parties. We love to, for the families. Also, we might have the farm, we might go to the farm. So lots of things, there's lots of things that we try to plan throughout the year.
How do you manage to keep a distance from the almost inevitable tragedy that comes with working in a place like this?
It's a bit of a roller coaster ride, really. When we're here, it's all about the now and about having fun and making lots of memories for the families. You do become attached to the families and the children. So for us, as staff and activity coordinators and fundraising, it can be a really, really sad time. But I actually thank that we are here for them, to support them through that most terrible time.
What would happen if you weren't here?
I don't know, actually. I wouldn't like to think that we weren't here. That would be awful. If we weren't here, I don't think they would be having the support and the love that we can give them.
Do you have a favourite activity?
Messy play is lovely. I love getting out the crazy soap, the cornflour Play-Doh. I love that. The more dirty, the better.
Right. And you're staff here, aren't you? So are the volunteers as well?
Yes, we're very, very lucky. We have activity volunteers that come in every morning to help us. So that could be they're helping us to set up the activity, getting it prepared so we can actually spend time with the children, then facilitating it. And they help us clear up. They help us come. They come to events to help us. We might have reptilers in over the weekend, and our activity volunteers will come in to help us do that.
Just stop you a minute. Reptilers?
Yes, reptilers. So they'll come in. They might bring their snakes and their lizards. The children love that. They love that. We also have amazing animals where they have the furry animals. The children are on their laps stroking all the little soft animals. So, yeah.
So is that important to a child's well-being and the siblings as well?
Yes. Every child has got a right to play and to experience this wonderful experiences, whatever their ability.
And do you have to tailor the activity to the child and their disability?
Yes, absolutely. That's what we're all about. We think out the box. So we know who's coming in, what they like doing, and then we try and tailor it to that. So a lot of our activities are very sensory. Our children might have visual impairment, limited mobility. So we do tailor it a lot to the individual child.
And do you have fun as well?
I have immense fun. I go home, I feel very honoured to be here providing activities for these amazing children, young adults and families. I always go home with a smile on my face, covered in glitter.
What makes it special for you?
To be working with such wonderful children and young adults and families. It's a total privilege to work with such a dedicated team. You know, the care and the love that they show the children and their families. And the fundraising team, incredible. I think it's a very, very special place.
And can you manage to keep separate the obvious tragedies that happen sometimes?
Yes. I mean, each child has a place in your heart. And we always remember them. We have special remembrance days for our families to attend. So although we're generally a happy place and we're all one big family, we never forget, but always remember.
We're hearing from Charlotte Waring and Karen Izzard from the Chestnut Tree Hospice. And I hope that you, dear listener, will do what you can to help raise those vital funds to keep Chestnut Tree and, of course, all the other hospices in our area going. Now, although it might seem a little flippant to move from interviews on such a serious subject to a theatre show about tango, that's just exactly what we're going to do. The show is called Tango Fire, and it's coming to the Theatre Royal on Monday the 2nd of March. And to find out more, I met with two of the all-Argentinian cast, who first introduced themselves because, quite frankly, I couldn't pronounce their names.
I am Ezequiel Lopez, and I am dancer from Tango Fire Company. I'm
Camila Alegre, tango dancer.
We meet in the 2012.
How different is tango in Argentina?
Argentinian tango is very different to all the tango dance in the other countries. The difference is, in Argentina, it's a social dance. It's not a sport. No, it's not like ballroom or like this. In ballroom have tango, but it's different. In the Argentina, it's a life way, you know.
Dance in the club.
You can dance in the clubs, in the milongas, in the coffees.
We have a television program in the UK called Strictly Come Dancing. How different do you think the shows that we see with British people doing tango is different from the real version?
Yes, it's different, the tango show at the social tango. In the show, you can see the choreographies, the clothes, the history of the tango. The social tango is other thing. It's more traditional, yes.
Slowly.
You can follow, you can lead the moves. You can follow the moves.
Yes.
In the tango stage,
we
have choreographies.
Why should people come and see Tango Fire?
In the Tango Fire, you can see the passion, the
sensuality.
The women's are so sensuality, have a lot of the evolution of the tango.
In the show, there are five couples,
yes.
And we are different.
Yes, different styles.
Different sides.
In the tango stage, we have the different styles. We are six couples, totally different. Everyone have special things.
Tango is seen as being very erotic. Is it meant to be?
Yes, it's very.
It's so erotic.
Yes.
But it's more passional.
The men and the woman
create the
Do you have to be a couple to be able to dance tango properly?
We are married, but it's not necessary to be married. For us, it's beautiful all together. Dance together, the life together, but it's not necessary. It's very important, the connection, the feel good with the other person.
It's possible a friends dance.
Yes, dance together.
Dance together.
It's not necessary... love, you know,
marriage.
No, the tango is not fighting. It's other thing. It's have energy, have power, have these things, but no fight. No, it's completely different. No fight.
And do you enjoy tango?
Yes, I love tango. Yes.
Yes, we love
dance tango.
We're hearing from two members of the cast of the Argentinian tango show called simply Tango Fire that's coming to the Theatre Royal in Brighton in early March. And that brings us to the end of this edition of At Home This Morning, a magazine programme that's brought to you by Brighton's only truly local radio station, Radio Reverb. Broadcasting on 97.2 FM, on digital radio, and online at radioreverb.com. So until we next meet over the airwaves in about 4 weeks' time, it's goodbye from me. However, don't forget that Richard will be here with his next show in just 2 weeks. There's just time for me to repeat those all-important contact details. For information on how you can find out more about the work of the Research Institute for Disabled Consumers, you can either go online to www.ridc.org.uk or call them during business hours on 020 7427 2460. And don't forget that you can also become one of the members of their panel of testers. You can find out more about Dementia Friends by going either online to www.acs.org.uk or www.alzheimers.org.uk or by phoning the Alzheimer's Society helpline on 0300 222 1122. That's 0300 222 1122. And for information on how you can donate cash and or volunteer to help with the vital work of Chestnut Tree House, just go online to www.chestnut-tree-house.org.uk. That's www.chestnut-tree-house.org.uk. Or you can simply go along to one of their shops, which here in Brighton Hove are in London Road, Brighton, and George Street, Hove. Or you can call 01903 871 800. And finally, for tickets to Tango Fire at Theatre Royal, you can either pop along to the box office in New Road, Brighton, or go online to www.atgtickets.com. You've been listening to At Home This Morning, which is a Grey Matters production for Radio Reverb. In here, I must, of course, as usual, thank my executive producer, Richard Davis, for the technical operation of the programme. But my final thanks must go to you, our listener, wherever you may be, either via your radio tuned to Radio Reverb, or your smart speaker, or online at www.radioreverb.com. And finally, may I remind you, you can listen again to a selection of some of our recent editions of At Home This Morning by simply visiting the Grey Matters website at www.greymattersproductions.org.uk. And so, until we next meet over the airwaves in about 4 weeks' time, this is Chris English wishing you the best for the coming few weeks. And don't forget, keep safe, dry and warm. Bye for now.